Hi guys, I'm still in Hawaii. Last week I came to you from Kona with Scott Helm, and actually I had a lot of really positive feedback about the podcast with Scott. So, you know, we're not together a whole lot by virtue of being on the other side of the world from each other, but we are going to be seeing each other a bit next month at my place down in Australia on the Gold Coast, and I'll be seeing him in June in Oslo and in London as well. So I might try and do a couple more, Scott, because everyone seemed to like Scott, so good on you, Scott. Thanks, mate. Anyway, so last week, that was in Kona. I had just done the LocoMocoSec conference, or probably about three quarters of it when I did that update. That was a fun event. It was very, very lighthearted. I was up there in board shorts and thongs. Google it for the Australian version if that sounds really weird to you. But that was a nice kind of casual chat. So I was there. I went over to... Last thing on Kona before we left, we had the most epic helicopter ride. And it was kind of amazing to see this island, because in my mind, there were things that I was hoping to see in Hawaii, unlike Australia. This, and for those of you on the podcast, I'm pointing, you know, like not watching the video, I'm pointing at a very sort of nice beachy scene behind me from a high-rise building. But this is like normal everyday stuff for us, certainly where I live in Australia. But the stuff I really wanted to see on Kona was volcanoes, because we don't have volcanoes, not proper working ones anyway. And the chopper flight gave us a great look at those. And I also wanted to see like some of those epic mountains with the big waterfalls like you've seen in Jurassic Park. And we got to see those too. So I was really, really stoked we got to see that side of Hawaii. You know, the sunshine and the ocean and the palm trees is business as usual where we're from, but the other bits are not. Now, we did that in Kona, then went to Maui for about 4 days, and I was actually planning to record this from Maui because we had a nice house on the beach where you just like house, like grass, palm trees and beach, which was kind of cool. But frankly, I decided to spend time with my family instead, and I'm about to go and do that again as well, to go down and see them in the pool. But anyway, I ran out of time in Maui. This morning we came to Honolulu, mostly because tomorrow we've got to leave from Honolulu to fly back to Australia, and yeah, it made sense to come by here. So we're in this hotel, which those of you on the video can see now. Now, interesting story about the hotel. My wife booked this and she researched very well, as she always does, and the most sort of suitable hotel, I guess, that she came up with is a Trump hotel. And she was kind of lamenting the decision when she was booking it, going, you know, well, obviously there's a lot of controversy and everything around Trump. I think most of my followers have a very similar impression of Trump. She wasn't so keen. And I was like, look, it's just a name. You know, who cares? It's probably a very nice hotel. And we arrived at this hotel a few hours ago. And it's been funny to see the Trump thing. So, you know, there's like the Trump, for those of you on the video, the Trump coaster for your drink, so you can have a drink with Trump. There's the Trump shower caps, so you can have a shower with Trump. There's the Trump slippers, so you can walk all over Trump. There's what I believe is Trump toilet paper, and I think the less said about that, probably the better. But it is, it's very Trumpy, but it's actually an awesome hotel as well, so we're pretty happy with this. All right, on to business as usual. And there's a few sort of random things I thought I'd talk about today, as well as a blog post of the week. And one of the weirdest random ones, which has only just happened in the last half hour, was I was in a Twitter conversation, about a particular hosting provider doing some dodgy stuff. And at some point in time, it was only a couple of hours ago, some Twitter account called NodeStack jumped into the conversation and tried to sell their hosting things. And I kind of went, oh, that's like, that always feels dirty to me, at least. I've seen it happen many times before. It's commonly known as thread hijacking, where someone, usually behind a corporate account, sees a conversation, goes, oh, there's an opportunity. We can go and sell our things and get our message in front of people, and we can get customers this way. And customers will love it because it's like a value-added service, which is not really how it is. It's actually spam. It's outright spam. And I actually replied to this account and said, look, guys, just so you know, like this is normally frowned upon. It's called thread hijacking. You may want to reconsider this. The account has 71 followers, so I thought, look, it's probably a little startup somewhere, but they'll appreciate the advice. Turns out not so much. So I'm going to link to the thread and you'll see the, yeah, again, the very sort of subtle polite, maybe you don't want to do this, and then how that escalated. And at some point in time, I sort of said, look, let's just ask people, you know, like, you guys obviously think this is okay. I don't think this is okay. Different points of view. Let's ask people. The responses weren't so friendly to NodeStack. And in fact, there was one reply which was a little bit more friendly. And then actually, in fairness, so I probably split like 80-20, this is crap, don't do it. And the 20 was, you know, maybe this is all right. And they seemed to have polarized one of the individuals who was supportive once they started getting a little bit nasty. So I think they've earned themselves a blog post out of this. Not just specifically to target these guys. I mean, you read the Twitter thread, you make up your own minds. But it is something that I see happen quite frequently, because I get copied into a lot of stuff, and I often end up in these messages. And normally the process goes, someone does this, I reply and say, look, you know, you might not want to do this. Sometimes they mean by DM. And they go, yeah, it is kind of spammy. That's a good point. We shouldn't do that. And then that's the end of it. Usually when you start a debate on Twitter about something like this, which is against the public sentiment of the majority of people, it doesn't work out real well. These guys didn't quite get that. But I do want to write about it, because I want to have something I can link to explaining in a more comprehensive, articulate fashion why this is a nasty practice, and why people that do demonstrate it need to be called on it, why companies demonstrate it need to be called on it, because it is under the company banner when this happens. So I've got a blog post next week. I'll write that once I'm home and I'm just looking at a different ocean and palm trees and sunshine. Sorry for the folks in the UK rubbing that in. All right, so that'll be fun. I'll do that next week. Now, whilst I was at LocomocaSec in Kona, I met up with a whole bunch of people from 1Password. So 1Password were one of the sponsors of LocomocaSec. Just by pure coincidence, of course, I recently announced the partnership with 1Password and Have I Been Pwned. I didn't know they were going to be sponsoring. I did know that that their CEO was going to be there. So it was good to, I guess, again, sort of see objectives align. You know, they're at the same event, contributing to the success of the event, having a bunch of people there. And it meant that I got to spend a bunch of time talking to the folks there. And the feedback I had from the partnership, and I think I mentioned this probably 2 weeks ago, the feedback I had from the announcement of the partnership was that it needed to be more transparent on the places where 1Password appears, exactly why I'm recommending them. So we definitely spoke about that. We have very, very clear action points. I've actually got some interface mock-ups from their graphic designer that I haven't even looked at yet, because I'm trying to do the holiday thing. Just came in today. So I am going to make that a priority next week, and I'm going to get that pushed out, because I do want to make sure it's crystal, crystal clear why I've been using them for so long, and why I still think they're a good idea, regardless of the commercial relationship we now have. So I'll get that out next week. That was 1Password. Now, something else, another weird one that popped up overnight. I just wonder the thought process of some of these people. Not so long ago, going back about December, there was a lot of news about 1.4 billion credential pairs being found on the dark web. For those listening on the podcast, dark web is in air quotes. And as I wrote not too much later, probably 6 weeks later, in a more general context, usually when you see the dark web used in any sort of media pieces or security company pieces, it's a beta. And this was actually a bunch of data that was posted to Reddit. So 1.4 billion credentials posted to Reddit. The Reddit thread also had a link through to about half a terabyte worth of data that it had come from originally. And at the time when I went through it, I discovered that something like 99% of the data had already been seen before. It was, yeah, like, there was just nothing new. That hasn't stopped one enterprising person from standing up a searchable site, which has just appeared in the last 24 hours, where you can plug in anyone's email address, and then it comes back and says, yeah, here's the password they use. Like, it is that simple. There's not any sort of obfuscation of the password. There's not any verification of identity. It's nothing like that. It's just like you could go there and plug in your neighbor's email address, and it will tell you what passwords they've used if they appeared in that 1.4 billion set. Now, you may be wondering, why would you do that? And in fact, your neighbor may be wondering, this is really crap, how do I get my password off there? Good news, you can pay to have your password removed. This is awesome, right? There's what's the word for it normally? Extortion, protection racket. There's many words for it. Many not so pleasant words. So that is not cool at all. And that's been stood up. It got a bit of press. It sounds like a bunch of people went there. I'm not going to link to the site. When I did go and check it before, it said something along the lines of we're overloaded because of all the people searching for it. Not said was that someone is obviously having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to build a database that a large number of people can search by. Incidentally, I got lots of free blog posts on how to do that. Please don't do it just to show other people's passwords. So hopefully that disappears very quickly. There's still this case, which is going to go to trial in Canada shortly, of the bloke, I think his name was Jordan Bloom, the guy who ran the leaked source database, who's now facing charges by the Mounties because he was running a service not dissimilar to this, but you had to pay money in order to get anyone's data as opposed to paying money to keep your data off. The charges that he is currently facing include things like trafficking in identity data, as well as a whole bunch of other really nasty things. This smells bad, it feels bad, everything about it is bad. If this site lasts more than a few weeks, I'll be surprised, but you know, maybe we won't see it live again, because at the moment it doesn't seem to be able to handle the requests. All right, so that was that. Now, another one. A lot of this is just sort of random, interesting stuff from the week. T-Mobile Austria. Now, here's a story a little bit different to the node stack earlier on, where they've screwed up, they haven't realized it yet. They will, like it will happen. But the T-Mobile situation in Austria, they screwed up. Everyone sort of went to town on them, that the penny eventually dropped, and now they've done a good thing. Now, Scott and I did talk about this last week, so I won't go into it in detail. But this was effectively someone saying, hey, T-Mobile, you can see my password in the clear, means you're probably storing it in plain text. Not so good, you shouldn't do this. And the responses, which as best I can tell, were responses from one social media person, maybe having a bad day, were along the lines of, but our security is really good, you can trust us, are you threatening us? It was just hysterically bad responses. That set off an interesting chain of events. Now, Scott and I, when we spoke about this has been live for about, a few hours, and I think we mentioned someone had already demonstrated XSS as well as, it was RCE, Remote Code Execution. It wasn't RFI. So anyway, various multiple bad vulnerabilities. Someone else a little bit later on found subdomains with directory listing enabled, Git repositories in the root, holding credentials through to MySQL databases with plain, it was crazy. So a combination of an operator absolutely saying the wrong thing and the technology clearly being very bad. Now, here's what I thought was noteworthy. As the internet hordes started to pile onto T-Mobile Austria, some of it did start to go a little bit too far. So what do I mean by this? It's one thing to say, hey, T-Mobile, you guys are bad because you store my password in plain text, or you certainly don't hash it. I know this because you can tell me what it is. It's another thing, and this is starting to get towards the gray end, where you say, you've got XSS, here's a POC, a proof of concept, so this shows it working, and I've obfuscated, say, the payload. That is now starting to show a vulnerability, which could be quite serious. And if there's enough information there, and frankly, even if there's an announcement of the fact that there is a vulnerability, it does start to attract a lot of attention. And I start to end up on the fence here in terms of whether this is a good thing to show or not. The bit which maybe tipped me towards it was reasonable under the circumstances is T-Mobile were adamantly saying, look, our security is awesome, we've got no problems. And sometimes, unfortunately, it does take a little bit of a public demonstration to get attention. Apparently, and I haven't seen these tweets, but apparently there are tweets that did go way too far and showed people things which could be exploitable in terms of actually accessing other people's data, privacy violations, things that aren't cool. We don't want that to happen to people. So there was a bunch of debate from folks around, this is just shaming, right? Like shaming if companies shouldn't do this, doesn't work, brings the industry into disrepute. I want to come back to that in a moment because we ended up somewhere which is a good place. And I'm going to tell you what this place is. And I want to read out the tweet because what ended up happening was they put out a tweet and they said, let me see here. Claudia. So Claudia was the lady who originally reported this. I think I've got someone trying to get into my room. Give me just one second.
Hi. Sorry.
someone just brought me chocolates. I didn't stop to ask whether they're Trump chocolates. I would assume so, given the stuff. Anyway, wait. I don't edit these either. You've probably worked this out now. So they're all very, very off the cuff. All right, so T-Mobile says, Claudia, as we previously said, we will implement further steps to secure passwords. Passwords will be salted and hashed. Service agents will not be able to see any parts of passwords. We will implement this as quickly as possible. And I want to call this out, first of all, because good on T-Mobile Austria for doing this. You know, look, everyone can have vulnerabilities. I could have vulnerabilities. I don't know, there could be stuff in there I haven't found yet, and have I been pwned? Certainly we know as an industry, there are lots of vulnerabilities. So this can happen. I think the thing that we're starting to judge organizations by, more than anything, is how they deal with it when it does happen. These guys have done a good job. This was the right way to respond. And as best I can tell, they are getting on top of this and they're fixing it. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, on the shaming piece, I doubt I'd be looking at this tweet now if this didn't become a great big public furor. And, you know, this is unfortunate, and it is a nuanced thing, because I also hear some people saying, look, if I didn't suck the data out of the database, the personal information, then the company wouldn't take me seriously. And that is obviously too far. But in this case, turning it into something which got a lot of attraction, inevitably flooded their timeline with people complaining and would have escalated things through their leadership, this had a good outcome. All right, I'm rushing the clock a little bit because I've got to get out of here and go watch the kids in a moment, enjoy the rest of my holiday. The last thing in terms of stuff I actually created or wrote this week, the only stuff, is I got my Microsoft Regional Director renewal. So I have got another 2 years of being an RD, which I'm very happy about. It was based on all the things I've done since the last time I got it, so I first got it 2 years ago. The blogging, the speaking, the congressional testimony, turning up in Washington DC in a nicely dressed suit, being presentable. I hope some of the other government work I've been doing with Have I Been Pwned as well. Yeah, obviously, for those of you who listen, it's obvious. I'm working with the NCSC in the UK and also the ACSC, the Australian Cybersecurity Centre in Australia, giving them a whole bunch of data from Have I Been Pwned about their domains so they can do a better job of doing what they do well to help protect the rest of us. So anyway, all of that was part of the RD renewal, so I've got RD now until 2020. That sounds like a long way away, but it is only 2 years. And my MVP status is up for renewal in July 1st. So hopefully that will tick over as well. I think it's probably a positive sign having the RD renewed. I'm enormously grateful to Microsoft for being on those programs. And as I said on the blog post, I'm really grateful for everyone that actually watches stuff like this or listens to it or comes to my talks or reads my blog post, because that has given me the platform to do this. And look, as with some of the Twitter conversations I mentioned earlier today, not everyone always agrees with me, but it is nice to have a channel where we can have this open discussion about technology and hopefully make everything much better. So thank you very much for everyone who has actually helped me get that status with Microsoft. I really appreciate that. Last thing is Raygun is sponsoring my blog again this week. So Raygun do all the application performance monitoring stuff. They've been around for quite some time. They do all the APM within Have I Been Pwned. So this is great when I have a sponsor that I do actually use firsthand. So they've been in there in Have I Been Pwned for several years. They catch all my unhandled exceptions, which I can then go through and triage and process. And I do have some unhandled exceptions. There's a few oddities. Story for another podcast. And of course, they are doing the APM stuff now as well. So they're launching some cool new stuff. And I'm really glad for those guys to have their support. So please go and check them out. They do an awesome job. That's it for now. I'm going to go and do the family thing and just cut it off here. And I will come to you next week from somewhere sunny and warm with beaches and palm trees. And it will just be like business as usual, just not in a high rise. Thanks very much for watching, guys. See you later.